Well, it is good to see those of you out with us this morning. Good to have our visitors here with us. Hope you can come back and be with us whenever you can. Tonight we'll continue our series on elders with looking at some preliminary qualifications. Just a couple, be a short lesson this evening as a way of starting the qualification process. This morning, though, I want to take a moment to look at the story of Mary and Martha as Paul just read for us. When you consider our lives as Christians, we have many responsibilities that are proper. We have reference to our work. Paul even talks about that a little in Colossians chapter 3 at the end of the chapter through about the beginning of chapter 4. And the Christian's responsibility to maybe an employer, to employees, to the work that we have to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, and in Colossians chapter 3, earlier than that, Paul talks about the responsibility that we have to our families, whether that be as parents, as children, as siblings, as spouses, etc. And so we have good responsibilities that we all have to consider and take note of and make sure that we're fulfilling those roles in our lives. Yet sometimes what happens is we let the good get in the way of what is better. We get distracted by the good, if you will. And that's the title of this lesson in looking at these two sisters, is distracted by the good. When we fail to properly prioritize our activities, what happens is something that is important is what's taken care of, but not maybe the most important item on our list or our most important action we need to take. And so what we do is we allow ourselves to then thus be distracted by the good and miss out on what is better. And so let's look again at Luke chapter 10 verses 38 through 42 with that in mind of looking at the story as being distracted by the good. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." When we're looking at these two sisters, consider, if you will, with me that Martha is distracted by what's going on. Notice at the very beginning of the story that she has done a right thing, a good thing, by inviting Jesus into her home. She is showing hospitality in inviting him to come and be at her house. And what we would consider is that that would be a very good trait, to entertain the Lord, to host the Lord, to care for him. But if you consider that her hospitality is very commendable, a very noble trait, what is she missing out on? What is she not considering? In verse 40, when she's asking the Lord to command her sister or tell her sister to come help her, what is her focus? Is her focus on the Lord being in her home or on serving? She has become distracted by the action of hospitality. She has become distracted by the action of serving and not considering who is at her table, who is at her house. The Son of God, the Messiah, the Lamb of God is in her presence and she's concerned over the serving. You know, more than likely there are others there besides Christ. More than likely there are some disciples there, maybe her friends. We know at least her sister Mary is there as part of her household. And so she naturally is wanting help in preparing what she's going to do and in serving those in her presence. And if you notice in verse 41, how is the Lord describing Martha? Martha has asked Jesus to tell Mary to assist her. He says, "Mary, you're troubled, you're anxious, you're worried, you're concerned greatly." The issues she's facing are not wrong in themselves. What she's wanting her sister to do is an admirable way of serving, if you will, of service, if you will, let me use it that way. But what's happened, it is has consumed her to the point of causing her, as the English Standard Version puts it, anxious, anxiety. She has developed anxiety and distress of the spirit because she's wanting to serve those present. You know, there's a comedian, I forget his name, but his stage name is Southern Mama, where he acts like the typical Southern mother. And in the one of the videos where company's coming over, he freaks out and says, "We've got to clean the couch cushions. No one can think we sit here." And that's the whole comedic spiel, is how the typical Southern hostess makes sure their house is prim and proper as if it's out of a magazine and that no one lives inside the house. That's how we get a lot of times, isn't it? If not everything in the house is perfect, then no one can come over. Unless we have the finest china out on the table, no one can come over. And so we can see maybe ourselves in Martha, in the way she's distracted. And I say ourselves because this isn't limited to just the ladies in the audience. We gentlemen sometimes get concerned with the look of things and wanting everything to be in its proper place. And we get distracted by what is good and ignore what is better. Consider then Mary on the flip side. And consider that instead of distracted, she is disciplined, if you will. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words, verse 39. You know, as we look through the New Testament, we see this action of sitting at the feet of individuals as a posture of disciples or of listeners. Paul talks about himself in Acts chapter 22 that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. In Acts chapter 22, around verse 2 or 3. And so we see through Scripture that this is the posture of one who is learning. The posture of one who is wanting to understand more. And so Mary is indicating that she is his disciple by sitting at the Master's feet, by taking a recollection of what he has to say. And so she was more concerned then as being a good disciple than in being a good hostess. Her concern was on the Lord. She chose the one thing that was needed. In verse 42, Lord tells Martha, one thing is necessary. He's not saying that there aren't other things that are good and other things that are needed, but there is one thing that is necessary, and that's what Mary has chosen. She's chosen this good portion, as he calls it. In the end, there is but one thing that is important to us, and if you consider what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What is first, or what should be first and most necessary in our lives? Seeking the kingdom of heaven. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you consider what Jesus says there at the end, that she has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her, she is choosing what is eternal versus what is temporary. Martha is concerned about the temporary setting of having people to serve, including the Lord. Mary is concerning herself with something that is eternal, the good part that's not going to be taken away. You know, as you look through the book of John, as we're about to start studying on Wednesday nights, you're going to see this word of blessings pop up consistently through the book of John. You look at John chapter 4, verse 14, chapter 5, and chapter 10. We have Jesus promising these eternal blessings. And in John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27, we have another account, if you will, with Mary and Martha. So turn there with me. John chapter 11, 21 through 27. This is as Lazarus has died and been buried. Verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Martha is aware. Martha knows from this context what Christ is able to do, who Christ is, and what he means. And so when we consider these two sisters, Mary had the discipline to understand what was better, while Martha became distracted by the good. And so for the remainder of our lesson this morning, what lessons can we learn from these two women? What lessons can we learn about ourselves from the story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10? Let me start with asking, or let me just ask these two questions. And the first one being, are we distracted like Martha? Do we find ourselves distracted by other things? Things that may be good within themselves, but are consuming our time that should be used for what is better. Maybe that is in our roles as husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, parent and child. All of those relationships have responsibilities to each other as shown in the Bible. But have you ever seen someone that has become so consumed with the work of their family that they neglect the work of God? There has to be a balance. We have obligations to our family members, but we also have obligations to God. And in some ways, those overlap, but in others, we are, for lack of better terminology, robbing Peter to pay Paul. We're robbing time from one of the two to take care of the other. Maybe also in our responsibilities with work or with our community. We get involved and we have things to do, and so we get so bogged down with our time that something has to be cut. And are we cutting responsibilities at work, or with friends, or with our community? Or are we instead taking that time away from service to God, from study of His Word, from prayer with Him, from consideration of Him, from time with our brothers and sisters? You know, there's only, as everyone always says, there's only 24 hours in a day. And no matter how hard we try, we can't expand that time. We may can cut down the amount of sleep we need for a time until that catches up with us. But time is fixed. And so when we're considering what we're going to do, the one constant is time. We have to determine how to use it to the best of our advantage. And so that involves making decisions on what is good and what is better. Excuse me. Jesus warned his disciples on multiple occasions about allowing such things, family, friends, community, whatever you may have, job, taking precedent in our lives before God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, as Jesus is talking to his disciples about discipleship, he says down there that I came to set mother against daughter, father against son, etc. Paraphrasing here. Does that mean Christ wants us to fight with our physical family? Is that what that passage means? Well, no, because I think as we as disciples of Christ want especially our physical family to also be His children and be disciples of Christ. But what Christ is getting at is priorities. Family does not come before God. God comes before family. He reiterates that in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24, that family or work, whatever it may be, cannot come before the kingdom of God. Look at that with me, if you will, back in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. This is the parable of the feast, or the great banquet, depending on your translation. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent a servant to say to those who'd been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Looking at this parable, we see individuals who are making excuses on coming to the feast, coming to the banquet, based upon family, work, financial decisions. And what it boils down to is priorities. This master has thrown a great banquet for these individuals to attend and receive the blessings of the feast. And they're more concerned about their own lives than they are about accepting this invitation. Who does that sound like? Does it sound like people today? More concerned about themselves and what's going on in their life than accepting the great call of God. The cares of this world can render us unfruitful, as Jesus points out in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. And the cares of this world can leave us unprepared, as he alludes to in Luke chapter 21, verse 24. The great cares of this world, whether it's that we're concerned with how things look, that seems to be a big one for us today. We want everything to look perfectly. Can cause us to miss out on what is better. If we become so consumed in what everything appears to be, we've missed the point. And we've missed the work God's called us to. Now I understand that during the times we're living in, having each other into our homes is not what's on everyone's forefront because of the pandemic we're under. And so I'm not trying to say that we should start having our singings and potlucks and all that again. But as this thing one day comes to an end, consider, why is it that maybe we've not invited people over to our place? Or why is it that we are so concerned with different things, such as what we would serve, what we would serve it on, that our house looks proper and prim, that our house looks like it came out of a magazine, etc., etc., etc. Because we become so focused on all of those situations that we lose sight of the benefit we gain from being together. I've told the story before. I think it's been at least a year since I told it, so hopefully no one remembers it until I start saying it again. There was a preacher friend of mine who talked about the best meal he ever had during a gospel meeting. And it was with a newlywed couple who lived in a little apartment, and the meal was hot dogs on paper plates. And he said they were so excited to have my wife and I over, and we sat around their table and talked for 4 hours. He said, and that's the best meal I've ever had. A hot dog on a paper plate. He said, because there was no concern on making sure everything was perfect. The concern was, how could they serve us and how could we spend time together? That's the point of it, my friends, when it comes to hospitality. Is doing what we can to help each other and spend time together to be encouraged by one another. And this idea of distraction is not solely on hospitality. I'm talking about that because that's what's going on in the context of the story. But we can become distracted about many things. We won't lead singing because we don't have perfect pitch. Or we won't lead singing because we can't sing all the songs in the book. Our vocal range maybe only allows for a few hymns. Folks, if that's what our concern is that we sing it perfectly, we're missing the point of being together and singing songs of praise to God. Or maybe it is that I won't get up and say a prayer because I'm not eloquent of speech. It's a conversation between us and God. Maybe it is that I won't teach in a classroom because I don't have the best teaching skills, or maybe I don't relate to the children that best, or whatever excuse we want to throw into it. We've missed the point. We can become distracted by trying to improve something or by something that is good and miss the better will of Christ. And so are we like Martha and worried and troubled and maybe even stressed out at times because things aren't going the way we want it to? You know, in a similar state, we could find ourselves like Esau, who when troubled, who when stressed, who when wanting that soup more than anything, thinking that was good, ignoring what was better, traded off his inheritance. So that's the first question. Are we distracted like Martha? The other question is, are we disciplined like Mary? To seek what is better, the one thing that is really needed, that being the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that being eternal life and the blessings that accompany the response to that call. Jesus taught of the value of choosing what is good. In Matthew chapter 6, we looked at it in the last few weeks. We've hinted at it tonight with verse 33 of or this morning with verse 33 of seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. But in the verses prior, as he's talking about be anxious for nothing, and he's considering the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, what Jesus is showing in that context, right before he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you, these things are talking about the providence of God. Talking about the care that God provides to us. And the things that we worry about, the things that we consider how we would be able to do them, can fall into place if we first recognize God and His will. We have ample surplus to replace our sacrifice for the gospel. And what I mean by that is, look in Matthew chapter 10, where we have talked about a little this morning. Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Consider, if you will for me for a moment, what Christ is talking about in this passage. If you have a Bible that puts headings over paragraphs, more than likely above verse 26, you have no fear, or Jesus talks about fear, or a statement along those lines. Christ is trying to get his disciples to not consider the fear of the world, the fear of worldly things, but rather consider the fear of God. Rather consider who God is and what he can do. And so as we consider what we see here, we should be able to replace what we have with sacrifice to God. We should be disciplined to consider what is good and rather choose what's better. In understanding where our fear, where our trouble should come. Peace and joy comes from choosing the good part. John chapter 14, 27, 15, 11, chapter 16, 33. Jesus points out time and time again this idea of joy coming from the Father, coming from God, this everlasting peace. If we are disciplined enough to make the proper choice, that as we go through life considering what's before us and choosing to do what's better, we can find ourselves disciplined like Mary, free of anxiety, praised by the Lord. We will find ourselves also like Job. Consider how James describes him in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we consider those who blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. If we are disciplined to make the right choices, we will find ourselves experiencing what God intends for us in the end, just like Job. So are we disciplined, like Mary, to choose what is better? Martha had the opportunity to serve the Lord again. Back in that John text that we looked at with the story of Lazarus, in chapter 12, after her brother has been raised from the dead, after this joyous occasion, Martha has another opportunity to serve the Lord. You know, in that instance, she served the Lord without condemnation or rebuke from the Lord, free from worry, with her mind focused. Such would be the case for any of us who would learn the story of Mary and Martha. To put first things first, seeking God's will above all else. And when the Lord comes first, then we become better hosts, better spouses, better children, better parents, better workers, better community volunteers. When we let the Lord be the center of our decisions and our life, those things we're worried about tend to get easier. Seek first the will of God, and everything then falls into place. So are you Mary or are you Martha? I think probably all of us can say that at different times in our life we've been either sister. We've allowed ourselves to be distracted by good things and fail to see what's better. And then at other times we've made the decision to do what is better. You know, there's a lot of things you could be doing on a Sunday morning. Even still, not as much as it was when I was growing up or even when many of you were growing up, the town's pretty quiet on a Sunday morning. My easiest commute from out Pomona into any part of Dixon or Charlotte is on Sunday morning. There's less people on the road. I like to think it's because they're already at services. Let me have my fantasy, please. But Sunday morning's a pretty quiet morning. Could be devoted to family. Could be devoted to service to others. I think we would agree that those are good things. But what's the better option and decision than to assemble together and worship God as we've been commanded? And so at times we do choose what is better. We need to work more on being disciplined than we do being distracted. And so if you're here this morning and you need to obey the gospel, to come to God and to be His child, or whether it be that you have obeyed the gospel and yet you've wandered away from Him, you've not been living as you should, you've let your distractions lead you fully away from what is good and better, return to Him this morning. Be His child. Return to the fold with this opportunity you have now. And so if we can help you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.